I'm going to give you a list of things, and I want you to tell me what is in common about all of these things. The Olympic medals, the Heisman Trophy, Super Bowl ring, paycheck at the end of a hard week, or an easy week, the quarter under the pillow after a lost tooth. Anything? Anything in common? Rewards. Yeah. They're rewards. They are something that is earned that represents honor and accomplishment. Each recipient is given these things not because of who they are, but because of what they've done. Now, we're going to embark on a series that I'm titling Heavenly Granted Rewards for Heavenly Minded Lives. Heavenly Granted Rewards for Heavenly Minded Lives. And today, we're going to look at the theology of heavenly rewards. The theology of heavenly rewards. And if time permits, we're going to look at the distinctions between heavenly rewards and our heavenly inheritance. We're going to look at the delivery of the heavenly rewards, and we're going to look at the design for the heavenly rewards. Now, that's a lot to cover, and if we don't get it all done, that's okay. But you know what? This whole concept and this idea of heavenly rewards is something that is very difficult to speak on. Why? Well, because in the context of Christianity, we live and we have as our goal to please Christ. And that is it. To please Him. We don't live and work for these rewards. We live and work for the glory of God. But in the New Testament, the Bible talks of rewards. And it speaks of things, and specifically, there are some crowns that are mentioned as rewards given to believers as a result of some of the things that they have done, their faithfulness of life on this earth. So it's interesting to think about, isn't it? How do you reconcile this whole thing of, I live for Jesus Christ, but yet He's established rewards for me too. As we talk about these things, we're going to begin by looking at the distinctions between our heavenly inheritance and our heavenly reward. We're going to look at the particulars. What do I mean by our heavenly inheritance? I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1. Our heavenly inheritance is our salvation. Every believer is guaranteed an inheritance of eternal life. Now, as you're turning to this, I want to share with you an illustration. A wealthy man passed away, and the executor, last night I was sharing this illustration with my wife, and I said the executor. Didn't quite sound right. A wealthy man passed away, and the executor of the will was trying to decipher everything. And he found that each of the man's children received equal portions of the estate. This meant that the oldest son, who had been estranged from his father for the last 20 years, was receiving the same thing as the daughter who had taken care of her father to his dying breath. They were all given the same thing because they all shared his name. They were his children. What they received, we call an inheritance. Now, sometime later, as the daughter was cleaning out her father's room, she found an envelope addressed to her. In it, she found three things: a ring, a note, and a check. And she read the note. Dear daughter, I write this to you in my final days. I want you to know how much I've appreciated your kind service to me and the many sacrifices you made. I have enclosed this ring for you to wear. Whenever anyone asks you of it, you may simply say, it's the reward for kind service done to someone I loved. The check is for you to have as my token of gratitude for your service to me. May you be honored this day for the efforts you made while we still had time together. Love, Dad. Inheritance is truly a gift, for it comes upon us as something we have done nothing to earn. It is simply ours because of our name. The reward comes to us for those things we have done that are deserving of honor. For the believer, the Bible speaks of both of these things. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. And I want you to notice all of the things that are attributed to a believer. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice that the believer is guaranteed these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Notice, acceptance. In whom, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Notice, the believer has redemption. The believer has forgiveness of sins. And all of this is according to God's grace. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, and even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Notice the purpose of the life here, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, verse 14, of our inheritance, the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. Every believer is guaranteed an inheritance of eternal life. Let's make that fact clear. It's an important distinction, that the believer knows that God's grace has done a work upon their life to save them, to take them from death to life. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks all about that. A couple other passages, and I'll just read these for you briefly. But 2 Timothy, in chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And by way of illustration, I remember the thief on the cross. Remember him? And remember, he was told, today you shall be with me in paradise. What did that man do to deserve paradise? He believed. God's grace was at work in his life, and there was, God gave him an inheritance. He believed. And so his destiny was sure, eternal life. Every believer is guaranteed an inheritance of eternal life. But you know, the Bible also speaks that every believer is given the opportunity to earn heavenly rewards for their life lived on earth. That's our service for God. You know, there is much more to this life than just living and dying, just a mere existence, just getting your fire insurance, quote unquote. You know, God has works for us to do. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back and forth in a couple passages today. But it's important that we understand the theology behind rewards, and then we're going to look specifically at some of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, notice this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid Jesus Christ. Now, verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss of reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The concept of rewards, heavenly rewards, they're found in the New Testament. Go back a couple of chapters to chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians and look at verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Doesn't that sound like a coach? I mean, I don't know how many of you have ever participated in sports or race, track, that kind of thing. But your coach is out there and they're telling you to give it your all. Strive. So Paul, exhorting the Corinthian believers, give it your all, run that you may obtain. Verse 25, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. What does that mean? Well, back in those days when they would run the races, the winner would be given a Stephanos, a victor's crown, and it was a wreath. It was made out of living plants that they would pull and pick, and they would wind that around their head, and they would walk around with that crown, and everybody would see, and it would be honor to have that. But what would happen to that crown? It would decay, wouldn't it? It is corruptible. It was subject to decay. Paul here says, listen, we live for something so much better, something that is incorruptible, a crown that shall never be destroyed. So it's very important that we as believers understand the distinction. We are guaranteed eternal life. But there is also, throughout the New Testament, a theology of heavenly rewards. And this concept and this idea that there are rewards awaiting those that serve faithfully now with what God has given them. And notice what I just said. You serve faithfully now with what God has given you. You know, it would be unfair to say that we're judged by our accomplishments, right? That would not be a way of God, because our accomplishments, therefore, some we could look at and say they have an advantage. you know what? We serve God and serve Him alone. And we are to be faithful what we have now and what we've been given, our skills, our abilities, our time and efforts. We are to be faithful. So the distinctions between the heavenly inheritance and the rewards, the particulars are that we are guaranteed eternal life, salvation by God. But there are also rewards for our service. The delivery of the heavenly rewards, or the presentation, is there is a judgment seat called the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema seat. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, is one place that you see this Bema seat. And I want you to notice who the presenter is and the place where this presentation takes place. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother?" And before I read on, this is the context is here speaking of judging one another. And Paul's questioning them and saying, now listen, why are you judging one another? The end of verse 10 says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." We shall all stand before the Bema seat. Now, the Bema seat in ancient days was the place where one would stand and make judgments. They've actually uncovered Bema seats in some of the ancient Greek cities. And these were platforms where a person would stand or sit, and the people would come and they would seek judgment. Whether you were a criminal or whether there was a dispute, this would be the place where things were settled, the Bema seat. And thus what we see is the same concept of Jesus Christ. There is a Bema seat, and Jesus Christ sits there, and it's this place where there is judgment, and He makes this judgment for believers. And now remember, if a believer is guaranteed an inheritance of eternal life, this judgment is not, therefore, then to determine where they spend life or death, where they go. This, therefore, is a place determining their works, the value of their works, the things that they have done. 2 Corinthians, and I know I have you turning, but hey, this is God's Word. We can get to know it real well, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 gives us the same Bema seat, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, we see that the presenter is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who's on the Bema seat. He's the judge. He's the one that gives the rewards. And the place is the Bema seat. And many people wonder, you know what? This doesn't make sense for us to receive crowns in heaven. Isn't everything supposed to be about Jesus and honoring Him and giving Him praise and giving Him glory? Oh yes, I agree. It's very interesting if you look into the book of Revelation. There are 24 elders that surround Jesus on His throne, and they have crowns. And John, in the vision of these elders, it's pictured they are bowing before Him and they are casting their crowns at His feet. And so lest you begin to get a big head and excitement about these crowns that I'm going to get, let's remember it's still all about Jesus Christ. And even these elders that surround His throne are pictured as casting their crowns at His feet. Let's also remember that in the earthly kingdom, the time of the 1,000-year rule and reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth, believers are spoken of as rulers and reigning with Christ. Can you imagine a kingdom on earth where Satan is bound, where Jesus is our King, perfect, holy, righteous, and where we return with Him in the clouds and we help establish this earthly kingdom and we rule and reign with Jesus? Believers, this is their future. It is very possible that even during that time, there could be rewards for our faithfulness today. So what's the design for the heavenly rewards, the purpose? We've looked at the distinctions between them, between the inheritance and rewards. We've looked at the delivery, and now the design, their purpose. They are to reward our works, our faithfulness, our faithful service. When you go back to 1 Corinthians, if you will, and I want you to also see that they reward us, God rewards us for our works, but also rewards for our motives. Because let's remember, as we live on this earth, I mean, we can think about the Pharisees a little bit, all right? We are really hard on the Pharisees. I mean, obviously because Jesus was hard on the Pharisees. But on the outside, the Pharisees looked good, didn't they? I mean, they kept the law, and they did what was right. But on the inside, Jesus described them as what? Full of dead man's bones. Graves. Now, how did he know that? He's God. He sees our motives in our hearts. And this is one thing, and this is a warning that God gives us, is that we are not to live to reap all this heavenly reward. You know what? God knows our motives. We live to please Christ. And that's how we're going to close. I have a passage that we're going to look at briefly to show us our purpose. But this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So these heavenly rewards, why they reward us for our works, they reward us for our motives. What are they? They are crowns. They are incorruptible crowns. Some of the crowns that are named in the Scriptures, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory. And we're going to take some time to look at each one of those. But what's interesting is that they are all incorruptible. That means they are not subject to decay. That speaks of the value of the things that we do for God. They're not subject to decay. These crowns are also specific. And you're going to see as we study this that these crowns are rewards for some specific things that are accomplished, that the faithfulness of a believer is in specific areas of life. Very interesting. I mean, God doesn't have to do all this, but He does. And so it's a very interesting study, and I trust it will be an encouragement to you. The Bible is full of exhortations for us as believers. Exhortations for us to be salt, to be light, to walk in the Spirit, to walk not after the flesh, to walk in good works, to walk worthy, to walk in love, to walk as children of the light, to walk in wisdom, to walk honestly, to walk after God's commandments, to walk in truth, to grow up in Christ, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to bear fruit, to make disciples, to multiply yourself, to endure hardness, on and on and on. The Bible has all these exhortations. All of these things, dear ones, are to be focused and done with the motive of pleasing God. And to close our time together, I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. To 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know what, as we're talking about motives, I want us to close with these thoughts in our minds. We are to live to show Jesus. Okay? We are to live to show Jesus. You could think about it this way. You are to show the temporal the eternal. Show this world that is temporal the eternal Jesus. Let me read on. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, but the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We have having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Live to show the world Jesus. Secondly, live for the glory of God. So we live to show Jesus. You show the temporal, the eternal. Live for the glory of God. You see the eternal despite the temporal. You see the eternal things of God despite you living in this temporal world. Live to show Jesus. Live for the glory of God. Let's look at our text. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our inward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. Or no, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So if you want to break this passage down, you could say that verses 15 through 18 speak of living for God's glory. And then we jump into chapter 5, and we are looking forward to God's heaven. Chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Dear ones, live to show Jesus. Live for the glory of God. Look forward to God's heaven. And finally, labor to please God. Look at verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Why? Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The theology of heavenly rewards, there is a great distinction. We are guaranteed eternal life. That's our inheritance. But God has given us an opportunity to serve Him on this earth. That's why you're still here. And He's given us all kinds of commands and exhortations to be growing and walking to please Him. We're to be growing to be more like Christ. And all a part of that process, we are living to show Jesus. We are living to show the temporal, the eternal. We are to be living for God's glory. We are to be looking forward to God's heaven and laboring now to please God. You know what? God has you here for a specific purpose and specific reason. We're talking about rewards. These are not free gifts. Salvation is a free gift. But these rewards are something that is earned. You know, an athlete does not earn an award simply for putting on a uniform or showing up to practice. He must be diligent, work hard, and endure difficulties. So just like an athlete endures much to win a prize, so does the Christian. The difference is that the Christian's reward lasts forever. In the days of the ancient Grecian games, the athlete who won the race was rewarded with a crown of greenery. It didn't last long. But the crown that a Christian receives is a reward that will last forever. Well, believer, the theology of heavenly rewards. I want to share with you one other illustration to help us understand again in application what's going on here. This is a poem, and I trust that you close your eyes and take to heart what this writer puts together here. And I believe it will serve to be a great challenge to each of us as we consider the heavenly rewards that God speaks of in the New Testament. It goes something like this. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and He shows me His plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been had He had His way, and I see how I blocked Him here and I checked Him there and I would not yield my will, shall I see grief in my Savior's eyes? Grief though He loves me still? Oh, He'd have me rich, and I stand there poor, stripped of all but His grace, while my memory runs like a hunted thing down the paths I can't retrace. Then my desolate heart will well nigh break with tears that I cannot shed. I'll cover my face with my empty hands and bow my uncrowned head. No, Lord of the years that are left to me, I yield them to Thy hand. Take me, make me, mold me to the pattern Thou hast planned. The theology of heavenly rewards should be a great challenge and motivation to you and to me to be faithful with what time God has given us and the abilities and influence that He has put in our lives. Live to show the world Jesus. Live for God's glory. Live looking forward to God's heaven. And labor to be pleasing unto Him. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would take these thoughts and use them in the hearts and minds of Your people. I thank You for the eternal inheritance, the gift of grace of eternal life that You have placed upon us. And God, I pray that You would motivate us, that we would live faithfully for You. And I thank You for this concept and this idea of heavenly rewards. And God, even as we look at this, I pray that You would continually remind us of the importance of living for Your glory and for living for Your pleasure. God, You've given us abilities and opportunities and time and influence and positions that can be used for Your kingdom. Lord, may we not be a people that sit around and not do anything for You, But wait, may we be people who are faithful with all that you have given to us. Lord, you see all things. You know all things. You know our hearts. You know our motives. Oh God, may you be pleased. May you be pleased with what you see. In Jesus' name, amen.